This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, this is Greg Buddle, and you're listening to The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN. That's right. It used to be The Buddle Show, but now it's The K. Show.
2 o'clock in the big city. It's Don and Peter on The K. Show. We're K-less until the Yankee-Rays game is over. Then we'll be joined by Michael and Yes. And, of course, The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. There is so much to get into, Peter. I'm really looking forward to this show. Again, Michael will join us coming up later on. Yes will join us as well. We've got Jeff Passan coming up at 5:30 to break down the trading deadline and what the Yankees did. Mets are playing the Braves. Alonso's just hit a ball 453 feet into the third deck at Citi Field, but still work to do there. Cole not great, giving up 4 runs in the first inning. But we begin with 2 big stories today. One broke late last night, and that, of course, was Joey Gallo becoming a member of the New York Yankees, left-handed power hitter. Yankees give up a pretty big package, but nobody that was in the top 10 in Major League Baseball as far as prospects are concerned, and a lot of the money is still going to be swallowed by Texas. So the Yankees are all in on this season and beyond, and we now have the end of the long crisis at Florham Park, where Zach Wilson has signed and will report to Jets camp, which means Peter and Michael will talk Jets this year.
Okay.
It was looking close. Oh, no. Oh, no. There's a disaster at the door. But, yeah, it was looking close. But, hey, crisis averted.
Yes, crisis averted, and everybody's happy. The bonus didn't have to be deferred. The language is still put in the contract. So the Jets probably feel like they won. Zach Wilson feels like he won. Saleh was not happy that Wilson wasn't there. We'll get into that, but now he is there. And, Peter, it's a blip on the radar screen. Nobody's going to remember that he missed a couple of practices to start training camp. So the awful optic, typical Jets, now it's just a matter of whether he can play or not, and we're going to find that out sooner than later.
It now becomes one of those stories you basically will probably completely forget ever happened.
Right.
You know, yeah. Hopefully. Because yeah. I can't imagine now a case. And what I find interesting about it, the timing's curious in terms of we finally heard from Robert Saleh today on it, and he expressed his pleasure from it. And then before you have a second to even process that Saleh says 2 days is too many, now we don't have to think about it anymore.
Yeah, so not an issue. So whether he was kind of grandstanding knowing that Wilson was going to be there later that day or whether he truly was frustrated, his first year as a head coach and the shiny new toy isn't there, probably irritated him to no end. But that is, as Peter said, a crisis averted at Florham Park. And now we look to Joey Gallo as a member of the New York Yankees. And you can't say you're overly surprised by it. This had been rumored. One of the biggest frustrations Yankee fans had was the lack of left-handed power in this lineup. They go out and get the quintessential left-handed power hitter with 25 home runs. But speaking of quintessential, Peter, he's the quintessential Yankee. A lot of strikeouts, a lot of home runs, high on-base percentage, does have an A-plus defensive glove out there, play any of the 3 outfield positions, obviously right is going to be Judge's, but I guess he could play some center, play left field. So, Peter, this is a good deal. Texas ate a large percentage of the money. There are pros and cons on both sides that we'll get into, but I'm kind of curious to see how the Yankee fan base feels about going out and getting a left-handed power hitter, and does that change how they feel about this team moving forward?
Let me start here. I need to ask you a question. Did the Yankees give up any prospects? I know they were none of the major names. No Florial, no Dominguez, no one like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone in there, Don, in that list that you're a Yankee fan is bummed out about? Or is all of this just a win-win if you're a Yankee fan?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, Otto is a good pitcher. I saw him a little bit with the Somerset Patriots. They were very excited about him. All I can go by is what the pundits were saying about this deal. And universally, the feeling seemed to be that Texas did well. For what they were looking for, that they did well. But on the other side, the Yankees didn't give up any top 10 prospects. Floreal is still here. As you said, Dominguez is still here. They didn't give up any of the real A-plus prospects that I think would have really shook the Yankee fan base up if that had happened. Because, remember, he's got another year left on his contract. He's arbitration eligible coming up in 2022, so he'll get a raise. But then he becomes a free agent at the end of next year, and he's a Boris client. So you know he's going to be looking for big, big-time money the same year that Judge becomes a free agent, when there's still 5 years left on Stanton's contract, where there's still 6 years left on Cole's contract. And right now Cole's kind of had an up-and-down year, and he gave up 4 runs in the first inning today. So you don't know what that end of that contract is going to look like. So there will be decision time going into the 2023 season on do you keep Judge or Gallo? Because I don't know how you're going to have all of these long, onerous contracts beyond 2022. I mean, can you give Gallo a big-time contract? Can you give Judge a big-time contract? You already got Cole and Stanton on major money. So, but that's a problem for a couple of years from now. But so there are some pitfalls here. He does strike out a considerable amount. And I'm sure there's Yankee fans, Peter, that feel like I kind of was looking forward to a change. And if you were somebody out there that wanted major change, you wanted Cashman gone, you wanted Boone gone, you wanted the Yankees to become more athletic, you wanted them to get away from the whole analytics, a deal like yesterday's deal, Peter, shows you nothing is going to change with this team. They're not blowing it up. Cashman's not going anywhere. And they're going to be into the analytics until the day you die. Now, maybe Boone still goes because he's obviously expendable in the grand scheme of things. But if you were looking for a change, Peter, a deal like this tells you that they are what they are and they're staying that way forever.
And it goes even beyond that, Don. If you were looking for a change in terms of upper management, that it doesn't appear to be changing. And if you were looking in a change when it comes to the kind of baseball that they play, that change isn't coming either.
Right.
Because they went and got someone who fits right into the way things are going right now. So there is going to be that fan base, the screaming for bunt, tired of this home run or strikeout kind of baseball, that not only are you not going to see a change on the product on the field, but obviously you're going to see more support now for the way that this team has been made up.
Yeah, this is not a team that is going to stray from what they want. They want guys that can hit home runs. They're going to bash their way to a championship. And they were able to do a lot of this without having to mess with the luxury tax. They're not going to go over the threshold and left themselves some wiggle room where there may be other deals to be made here. But we'll hear from you, 1-800-919-3776, on how you feel about it. But just reading the tea leaves over the last, you know, really few years, but specifically this year, seemed like at least the people that call the show, at least the people that tweet the show, kind of wanted to see this team move in a different direction. And when you see this move, you realize nobody's going anywhere. Again, Boone could still get fired if they miss the playoffs, but they'll just bring in a Boone clone. And this is a team that wants home runs. Now, he's left-handed, so that's a little bit different than everything else that they had. He's an A-plus defender, so they didn't sacrifice anything there. And as far as the money's concerned, well, the threshold doesn't become a problem next year, and we'll worry about 2023 when we get to 2023. But are they better than they were before this deal? Yes, they are better. Is it enough for them to be able to get the wild card? I believe it is. But do I feel like this team took a gargantuan step towards a championship? No, I don't think that happened yesterday. Do you?
Is baseball the kind of game where that's even possible? Was there a player out there that would have been a gargantuan step
for
them? No. So they got a star. I mean, they added another star to this team. And a guy who, you know, if they start playing the kind of baseball you're waiting for them to play, and he's doing what he's supposed to do, he adds to this team being just incredibly potent offensively. But he's also a guy who could easily fall into the same traps that we've seen with their current stars. So that's a scary thought, Don. I mean, you could still look up in a few weeks and go, this is the same team.
Yeah, because we've seen tremendous offensive Yankee teams spit the bit in the postseason and not get the big hit. right? So remember, Stanton was tearing the cover off the ball last year in the Rays series, and they still lost. So it's still that crapshoot when you get to the postseason, but can they catch the Oakland A's? Can they be a wild card team? Absolutely. Can they still catch the Red Sox? Yeah, mathematically they still can. They're 61 games after today. But they made themselves better. They put themselves in a better position, and we'll take a look at it. But the first thing I thought of when this deal was made, I said, I'm really curious to see how the Yankee fan base feels about this, because any kind of inclination whatsoever that this team was maybe going to change their ways, no. They are all in on what they believe in, and nothing is going to change anytime soon. 1-800-919-3776. Again, we will talk some football as well with Zach Wilson into the fold. Lemieux gets hurt on the offensive line for the Giants, so some shuffling they're going to have to do there. The NBA draft is going to be on our air later on tonight after Chris Carlin, so pay attention to that. Finally, we have a year where we're not all focused on the Knicks with a top five pick. They do have several picks in this draft, but coming off a playoff year, we're not talking about some lottery picks, so that's taking a little bit of attention off, but it's always fun to pay attention to what's happening with the NBA draft, so that's certainly on the table.
And then, I wasn't even going to get to that before you get to what you're about to get to. And then after all the conversation, Simone Biles out, and Suni Lee ends up winning the gold medal today for U.S. gymnastics.
Yeah, that was a nice story. So that's on the table. And, of course, what I was hinting at, too, one of the most epic lists we've ever had for the Daily Don. It was requested. I took on the task. It ate up the majority of my downtime last night into preparation today of the all-time HBO shows. Now, a couple of things that I need to mention this before we move on with the phone calls, okay? Number one, there are certain things that are eliminated from this list, okay? HBO documentaries, miniseries, and children's programming, all right? So there'll be no Fraggle Rock. There'll be no Inside the NFL. There'll be no documentaries. There'll be no Chernobyl, stuff like that. We are putting it down to the comedy and dramas of the HBO original series.
And full series.
Right. And not so and none of like the new stuff. So no there won't be any real time. There won't be any Last Week Tonight, that kind of stuff. We're going to kind of keep it to the scripted shows. Fair?
I think that's the only way to do it. It's the only thing that makes sense.
Well, because it's just too epic. Because I think I was talking to you. I had a text stream going because I was doing it, and my eyes were bulging out of my head, and I thought my head was going to explode just with the amazing amount of shows they have. And it's not even that they have a lot of shows. They're all good.
They've shot at an incredible level. Like the ones that are bad stand out more.
I could have had trouble with this if I went by decade. I could have had trouble with this if I went by genre. So I thought about having like top five comedies, top five dramas. I decided to make it just to make it easier so people don't get apoplectic. I'm going top 10.
This is the first ever.
First time.
This is the first time a top five's ever been a top 10.
And it's still going to cause all kinds of problems. And I also think for expediency purposes, especially since it's just going to be you, we're not going to guess. I'm just going to rattle off the top 10, 10 to 1, and then react.
Okay.
Because, again, there's so many shows, you can just get bogged down and then start arguing, and then we never end up finishing. So, especially with Michael not here, are you cool with I'll just go 10 through 1, and then we'll break it down.
I support this in every way.
And also because we have so much on the table today as well, and I want to leave some time for reaction to this. And remember, when Michael then joins us, then we'll have the Yankee postscript, and the Mets are playing right now down 5-3, so we'll have a lot of time to talk about that and get Michael's reaction to everything once he returns, probably around 4:30 or so. I want to be able to leave some time to react to this, but also give time to respond to all the big news today. We've now moved the Daily Don to 3:45. Okay. Normally done at 2:45, but we think the best thing to do today, rather than to derail the program and have it morph into this, we'll wait till 3:45. You cool with that?
I support everything you're doing.
All right, so little tweaks. It's going to be at 3:45 instead of 2:45. It'll be a top 10 instead of a top 5, and I'll just rattle it off and Peter will react rather than guess. So it's that epic. I was really ticked off the Yankees made the deal, to be honest with you, because I would have done the whole show on this.
But don't worry, this list will live beyond today. Maybe our audience thinks we're crazy, and they're not even that, you know, maybe they'll think, like, this isn't that controversial. There's three.
No.
I watched The Sopranos, Game of Thrones, and that's it.
Peter, the reaction on social media yesterday was ridiculous, to the point where you had people arguing with other people. Like, people tweeting me, why didn't you give The Wire love? I don't know, because I didn't come out with my list yet. Like, people were just, they're all over this. Believe me, they want this desperately, so we're going to have some fun with it. And believe me, I'm going to be the bad guy, because I can come up with 30 different top 10s, and people will still be disappointed. Just judging by the suggestions people had for the top 5, get ready to be disappointed.
And can I just say one thing? There's one thing you've made harder about it by making it 10.
What's that?
Because it's 10 and not 5, the gap between the top and the bottom is much wider. So people will care about ranking an actual number more than usual.
But you know what? I'd rather you complain about why is it 7 and not 1 rather than why is it not on the list altogether.
Well,
because, again, people don't understand the nuance. If I don't have in the top 5, that means I hate the show. Well, yeah, honestly, there is not an HBO show that I hate, and there's not an HBO show that's not quality. And again, did I see all of them? No, but I was a fan of Getting On, which was, I don't know if you saw, it was on for a couple of years about an old age home. Terrific, terrific show. Hello, Ladies was a terrific show. It was on for just 1 year.
Oh my God, what about Flight of the Conchords?
I am a huge fan a Flight of the Conchords. And that was on for a good 3-4. Yeah, it's a good show.
Wait, hold on. I think it's possible you will leave out, because I don't think you're watching it, one that to me is a top 5 show right now. It's Succession.
Yeah, a lot of people are suggesting that.
Succession's brilliant. I mean, it's crazy.
So, believe me, there's going to be a lot of disappointed people. This is some heavy lifting stuff we're doing here. And hopefully people appreciate it. And they won't, but that's fine. 1-800-919-3776. Lots to get into, obviously, with the Jets and the Yankees. So let's get to the busy phones, and a lot of people want to react to both. So let's start it all off with Pete on Long Island. You're on ESPN New York. What's up, Pete?
Hey, boys. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
All good. So let's talk about this trade for a second. And I'm trying to actually figure out who wouldn't like this trade, because the way I break it down, it's, would you trade Brett Gardner for Joey Gallo?
Easily, yeah.
So, listen, we all love Gardner. We all love him, you know, heart of the Yankees, you know, so forth. But he's hitting 190.
No, you've upgraded yourself considerably. You're right, because of Hicks' injury, Gardner comes out of your lineup and Gallo goes in. It's a great way to think about it, Peter. Pete, it's great. It's perfect. Now, not everything is done so specific to that. You did give up prospects. You did bring in somebody that's going to command a big salary in a year and a half from now. But it's a great way to look at it. Because of the Hicks injury, Brett Gardner is now an everyday outfielder, whether it's center field or left field. Now he no longer is an issue. Now you've upgraded to a guy that's a Punch and Judy hitter, let's be honest. I love Brett Gardner. He brings speed. He works counts. He does a lot of good things. But now you're bringing in a guy that's hitting 25 home runs. It's a great way to look at it. Zach in Jersey, you're on ESPN New York.
Hey, what's up, guys? First time, long time. Love the show.
Thanks, buddy.
I just wanted to say, this is, I think, a great trade for the Yankees. You know, I was listening to Michael on KJZ this morning, and I think he brought up a great point. In there with being a judge in Stanton, his lefty bat's going to play great with the short porch. He's a plus defender. And the way I'm looking at it, they didn't give up any everyday players that are going to hurt them. So the trade, I'll listen to the show. Have a good one, guys.
Yeah, and then, you know, you add a reliever who's obviously not having a great year, but still it's another arm in the bullpen, and you didn't have to take on a lot of salary. There's really not a lot to complain about this deal, Peter. They didn't give up a ton. They've upgraded for this year. Now, again, there are holes in his game, and then there's certainly obviously things that they're going to have to deal with years to come. But if you're just looking at living in the now, they're a better team today than they were yesterday. And I love the way that Pete from Long Island put it. And, you know, instead of Brett Gardner being an everyday player, you replaced him with an all-star.
Yeah, I mean, that is actually a really good way to look at it. That is essentially the upgrade that happened. Except you didn't have to – that wasn't even a decision you had to make.
Now, what becomes interesting is it enough to make the playoffs this year? And if you don't, then there's a lot of eggs in next year's basket because things become dicey once you get to 2023 on how all this is going to fit. But for now, for this year, for next year, the Yankees are a better baseball team. Now, I get it. If you wanted to blow the team up, you wanted Cashman gone, you wanted to play small ball, you know, this is probably the final nail in that coffin. And I think that's kind of where Frank in the car is going because, Frank, this seems to be, at least in your opinion, a guy that they already have.
Yeah, I would agree, Don. I think Joe Salo's a hell of a player. But let's face it, he's having a career year. And we seem to always go out and get a guy that's having a career year before he goes into free agency. So having said that, I would much rather, and I'm not debating the fact that he could hit some home runs, but 30% of his at-bats are strikeouts. Yankees can't afford more don't put the ball in play kind of guys. You got to put the ball in play and force the defense to make plays again.
Here's the rub, Frank, and this is kind of what I thought the fan base was going to feel like. They don't agree with you. You know, your talk about, oh, you got to be able to put the ball in play. You've got to make the defenders go out there and catch. You got to move. No, they don't agree with that. What they want to do is they want to bash the baseball. They want to hit home runs. They
want
to hit over the shift.
They want to play baseball.
That's what they want to do. So, see, that's where I think a lot of the people that are going to complain about the deal, Peter, are going to complain about it. Oh, well, you're not playing small ball. You got to put the ball in play. I love the way this team was playing over the last couple of weeks with all the injuries. They disagree with you. They believe the best way to a championship is hit more home runs than everybody else. And they just went out and got a guy that has 25 of them. This is a guy that's going to end up with 40 home runs this year, which, by the way, when you talk about career year, would be the third time he has hit 40 in his career. This is what they want. So if you disagree with this deal, Peter, what you're saying is you disagree with the direction the Yankees are going. Good luck trying to change their mind.
Right. Well, the thing is, we know people feel that way. And by the way, I don't necessarily disagree because I don't like this. Because my fear is always the same. And, you know, for the yo-yo on the show who knows nothing about baseball, I certainly seem to get my predictions right a lot of the time, which is that in this case, you can hit the home runs you want even the second half of the season, and maybe they look great. But things change when you get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And can it translate? Because we've seen, Don, over the last couple of years, we've seen World Series winners who were not doing it this way and who were more amenable to changing their concept once they got to the playoffs.
Right.
And I don't know that this team operates that way.
No. And that's why they consider the postseason a crapshoot, because that's what it's been for the Yankees for the better part of a decade. 1-800-919-3776. It's Don and Peter. It's the K Show right here on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hey, everybody! It's me! I'm back! And guess what? It's another Don segment!
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don!
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie!
The only break I got in this whole thing, it's not on television. But I'm sweating this list. I'm sweating this. I'm going to get eviscerated. Because nobody's going to be happy. No one. Top five HBO shows. Now, here are the rules changes from usual on the Daily Don. Daily Don is usually 5. I'm going 10. And I'm still sweating. Daily Don means that Peter and Michael guess. In this case, it would be Peter because Michael's not here. But no guesses. It would take too long. There's just too many shows and too many good shows. So I'm just going to give you the 10. I'm going to go 10 through 1, and then we'll analyze.
Who are you taking out?
I'll get destroyed.
All righty. Let's do it.
All right.
Let's not waste any time.
Let's not waste any time. Let's get into it. Now, again, the other rules is none of the, like, the newsy type shows, so not necessarily the news, real time, real sports, this week, last week, tonight, not included in that. Documentaries, miniseries, these are scripted shows, series that they had on HBO. Okay? We get that?
I'm with you. Yep.
Still makes it. All right. Number 10. Mr. Show with Bob and Dave. 1995 to 1998. Bob Odenkirk, who obviously just suffered a heart attack. We wish him nothing but the best. He's in the hospital recuperating. David Cross. IMDb rated 8.4. I thought this was an epic skit show that had some of the most laugh out loud funny moments that I've ever seen on television. And I've got it at number 10.
There are going to be people, there are going to be people who don't know the show, so they question it, but it's a phenomenal show. And Bob is in stable condition now.
Good. If you haven't seen it, see it. Number 9, Entourage, 2004 to 2011. Kevin Connolly, Kevin Dillon, Jeremy Piven, IMDb rated 8.4.
Jerry Ferreira.
Jerry Ferreira, listen, Adrian Garnier. I mean, listen, Jeremy Piven was the biggest star going in and coming out. I wouldn't say it was exceptionally well made or acted, but it was epic. People talked about it around the water cooler after the shows, made into a movie that was just a long episode. It probably was the guy's version of Sex in the City, right? It was a guy show. I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny as hell, and I have it at 9.
I don't think you're giving it enough credit. It was well acted and well done, and I don't think it's as good as Sex in the City, but it was a gigantic show.
But what I mean, the epic performances you see on HBO. Again, I didn't watch it because of its acting.
No, you're right.
I watched it because it was funny, and it was a good show.
Yeah, it was light. It was a light show.
Yeah, it was a light show. Number 8. Kids in the Hall, 1988 to 1995. Of course, Kids in the Hall, the name of the comic group, and, of course, the name of the show. Now, the one thing I had to double-check, it was on simultaneously on the CBC and HBO, but it was an HBO show, and it is coming back in 2022. Tremendous comedy. Dave Foley became a star after this. I've got Kids in the Hall at 8.
Okay.
Number 7, it introduced us to a genre. Exceptionally well acted and written. Number 7, The Larry Sanders Show from 1992 to 1998. Gary Shandling, Jeffrey Tambor, Rip Torn, IMDb rated 8.4. Hilarious show that gave us like the insides of the entire business. And Larry, who we lost a few years ago, epically funny. I have it at number 7.
Very interesting start to this list with what you've done, 3 so far.
Four.
3 of the 4 very early comedies on HBO.
Well, I can't help how old I am.
You can't.
Number 6, certainly talked about at the water cooler. Exceptionally well acted, a lot of tension. Ran from 2002 to 2008. IMDb rated 9.3. The Wire comes in at 6.
Many consider it the greatest show ever made.
It's at 6.
God, that's a low spot for HBO, but let's keep going.
All
I'm
right.
Not questioning it until I
who
get
are you
the
taking
top.
Out?
Well, I'll find out.
Number 5, one of my favorite shows of all time. I've never seen another show like it. It was as raw as a show as I've ever seen, as quotable. Oz, 1997 to 2003. Make J.K. Simmons a star, IMDb rated 8.7, and some of the greatest characters of all time. Toby, Adebisi, Saeed, Sillinger, however you wanted to say it. It was a big thing on the show. It dealt with sex. It dealt with drugs. It dealt with how we deal with crime in this country way before it ever even became a topic like it is now. I thought Oz was way before its time. Epic show. I have it at 5.
There will be a lot of questions about Oz above The Wire, but I enjoyed Oz thoroughly.
Number 4. The only show on the list that is currently still running. Curb Your Enthusiasm, 2000 till today. IMDb rated 8.7. give Larry David credit to be able to come up with a show this great after how epic Seinfeld was. Funny. Also conversation after the fact. Epic characters. Never, it ages well. I've got Curb at 4.
Now it'll be interesting as we get into the top three here to see who's on the outside looking in altogether, because we've heard no Game of Thrones. We've heard no Veep, which was very, very popular. We've heard no Sopranos. We've heard no 6 Feet Under. We've heard no True Blood. We've heard no Succession. A lot of shows will be upset on the outside. It's time for Don's top three.
That's why I'm very nervous, because I know it was going to make everybody upset, but I'm not a scared. Number three. Probably has talked about a show that we've seen in the last decade. Water cooler material. Tremendous special effects. Movie type ability. Every single show. Game of Thrones, number three, 2011 to 2019. IMDb rated 9.2.
It's very hard to argue with, and revisionist history, people who didn't like the last episode, a lot of things that came to kind of bite it at the end because the hype was so big, but the bottom line is it was incredible for almost a decade, and at its heights, Don, I think there were more people watching it by far than any HBO show ever. Sopranos was probably the only thing close.
Number two, because it's close to my art, had the greatest finale in the history of television. Also made stars out of Peter Krause and Michael C. Hall. It's one of Peter's favorites as well. At number two, 6 Feet Under, 2001 to 2005.
You know, people would fight about this. There are a lot of people who wouldn't even have 6 Feet Under in their top 10 because they just didn't spend time with it. It was dark. It was sad. It was deep. It got into issues of sexuality, race, death. I mean, every episode had something intense.
There's never been a show in the history of television that dealt with death with the depth that 6 Feet Under did.
I couldn't agree with you more. It might be my favorite show of all time.
I mean, every show ended with somebody dying, and then they wrapped it around there. So, as he said, it's really, really dark. It's an acquired taste, but again, my list. And listen, I can't be controversial here. When we made this list, we all knew what number one was going to be. And that's The Sopranos, 1999 to 2007, IMDb rated 9.2. I didn't know a person that didn't watch this show when it was on. And Game of Thrones came close, where like every Monday, people were around the water cooler talking about it. But you couldn't go to work on Monday if you didn't watch The Sopranos. Couldn't do it, because there wasn't anybody that didn't watch it and didn't love it. Now, it didn't have the greatest, in many people's opinions, final show. I had no problem with it. But how epic this was, the stars that came from it, how relevant it is today, it's going to age terrifically. It has. Even in the last run that HBO threw it on, people that missed it the first time around were as captivated as the people originally watching it. I could throw any episode on and be taken back. I don't think there's any question, there's any debate. Sopranos, number one.
Now listen, fantastic list. You're on a sports talk show. So you're not gonna have people beating down your door about Sex and the City, but it not making top 10 is that's something. No Boardwalk Empire. There are people out there like myself who really, really thought that show was underrated and good. Barry, which is on now, Insecure, which is on right now, Eastbound and Down, and Flight of the Conchords, great comedies.
Flight of the Conchords is one of my favorite shows of all time. It pained me to keep that off the list. It pained me to keep off Dream On. It pained me to keep off First and 10. I'm telling you, this was a very, very difficult list. I could have a top 20 and still leave. Really, HBO is so well done. Got Gary Myers texting me again. Inside the NFL, I kind of put in that same genre of the real time and stuff. But if I wanted to include those, I could throw them in as well. I mean, Inside the NFL was epic back in its day. It's on Showtime now as compared to what it was on HBO.
Did you watch Big Love?
Big Love. Another one that was great that I was tempted to put on the list but didn't was Hung. I thought that was terrific. There's so many good shows. So be disappointed, hate me. I've got people on Twitter that are never going to listen to the show again because I left this off, I left that. Fine. Believe me. Who are you taking out? This is an epic, epic list.
The Daily Don, you moron!
No, the Daily Don. My list, and I will take the slings and arrows.
No Ollie G show.
Oh, listen, this again.
Big Little Lies.
There's so much.
Westworld. Tales from the
Deadwood.
Crypt.
Tales from the Crypt.
Oh, so
and listen, and this is not, see, everybody's going to try to catch me. That's what you and Michael always try to do too, that I forgot one. I didn't. I went through every single show ever on HBO. There's not one that I did not consider. So you're not going to bring up, oh, I forgot that one. No. I went through all of them. Because really, it's not the bulk. It's not that they had that many shows. They're all good. There's not a stinker in the bunch. Newsroom was epic. Like I said, I loved Getting On. I thought Hello Ladies was hilarious. There's so many great shows. I considered them all.
I'll tell you what right now. The Room, the Veep Room, they're very upset, very surprised.
Hey, listen, right Veep now. Is a tremendous show as well. I watched that show. Awesome. But I had to narrow it. I was supposed to give you a top five. Just couldn't be done. Don't forget the Beach Bash. 98.7 ESPN Beach Bash is back Friday, August 20th. Bar A in Lake Como, New Jersey becomes Bar K. Make your plans to head down to the Jersey Shore near Belmar and join us on the Michael K. Show live from 2 to 6:30 with special musical guest Pat Roddy Band and an appearance by Willie Wilson. It's all brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer, Samwell Pain Management, Rutgers Football, Calandra's Bakery, and Yingling Flight. Be caller number 9 right now at 1-888-987-ESPN. 1-888-987-ESPN to win a VIP pass. You must be at least 21 years of age to enter. It's Don and Peter on the K-Show on Yes, eventually, at 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So the Yankees lose 14-0 as they attempt to sweep the Rays. Now on to Miami for the Marlins. But let's take a look. The guys have already done this, so I'll just give you my take quickly on the Gallo deal. Is Gallo a perfect player? No. He's actually the prototypical Yankee player that they bring in. Big power, big damage, a lot of strikeouts. But he's a little different in this sense. Has very high on-base percentage this year. His strikeouts have actually gone down a bit. And since they eliminated sticky stuff, he's actually making more contact, putting the ball in play. That's number one. Number two, he's a left-handed batter. Yankees are much too right-handed. Even Aaron Judge said yesterday, it makes it easier for a pitcher when he doesn't have to face any lefties. He gets into a groove, his arm slot, doesn't have to deviate. This will really mean a lot. This is a guy that's going to hit a lot of home runs at Yankee Stadium. Number three. He's a plus defender. He's a gold glove winner. He could play left. He could play right. He could play center. He's played 55 games in center field in his career, so he's not lost there. He also could play third. He could play first. There's a lot of things that you could do with him. A lot. A lot of things you could do with him. People have been pointing to, I saw on Twitter, 211 lifetime hitter. Listen, I know you people don't want to hear it. I've been a Yankee fan since 1928, and it should matter. To the analytic crowd, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. On-base percentage matters, and he's got close to a 380 on-base percentage. I think he's top 10 in baseball. So he gets on base. He hits home runs. He's a really good defender. He has a great arm. He's versatile. You can use him at four different positions where he plays well and in center if you need him. So did they give up a lot? Well, they didn't give up any of their top 13 prospects. The four players they gave up, well-regarded, but not their top prospects. So I think it's a pretty good deal. They also bring in Joely Rodriguez, who is very good against left-handers, so another arm in their bullpen. Is he the perfect player? No, I don't think the perfect player is available, but I think he works for the Yankees, and we'll see. And they have him not just for these final 2 months, but they have him for next year as well. And, Don, I really think his skill set plays on this team.
No, I think it's what you need. We had a caller earlier. I want to give him credit, but his name escapes me. But he called up and said he looks at it this way. You just traded Brett Gardner for Joey Gallo. That's what you did for this year, right? You've upgraded that position. And then going into next year, Michael, I guess the plan's going to be Gallo in left, Hicks in center, Judge in right. And that puts them in a great position. Now, does it get a little dicey once he becomes a free agent? He's a Boris client. You know, that's right when Judge becomes a free agent. You're still going to have 5 years left of Stanton, and you're going to have another 6 years left of Cole. So I don't know if all those guys could be on the team at the same time. But you cross that bridge when you get to it. But right now, you've now upgraded your chances of making the playoffs this year. And next year, it's a fit as well. Now, the only people that don't like it, Michael, are the anti-analytic crowd who says he strikes out too much, and this means the Yankees are going to stay with what they are. And that's what they are. They're not going to change. Brian wasn't going to lose his job. They weren't going to find religion. This is how they think is a way to play baseball. We had a caller earlier. Look at what happened yesterday. The Tigers hit whatever. The Twins hit 7 home runs and lost. The Yankees believe hitting home runs is the way to a championship. And now they brought in a guy that, if everything goes well, should have 40 at the end of the year.
And he's left-handed.
He's left-handed, which is what you wanted.
I even said, Starling Marte is a nice player, but he's right-handed. He doesn't really solve the problem of a lefty.
Right.
And I don't think the Yankees are done, Don, because they gave up 4 very good prospects, the Rangers are paying the salary of Gallo and Rodriguez. They're paying everything. So the Yankees don't move off where they are. I think they're $4.5 million below the threshold. I think they're going to make another move. I'm hearing they're in on Schwarber. I'm hearing that Luke Voit might be part of a deal because where does Luke Voit fit if you continue to play Odor at second and LeMahieu is going to play first? I don't know if Luke Voit really fits. So they're probably selling a little bit lower than they would have if they traded him during the offseason after he was leading Major League Baseball with 22 home runs. But I think they're in play on Schwarber, and I believe that Voit could be in play as well going somewhere else. So I don't think they're done. So this is not a finished product just yet. And if you're a Yankee fan, I never thought they were going to bag the season. I never thought they were going to sell. Aren't you kind of like thankful that you root for a team that doesn't give up?
They picked up
a guy that a lot of teams really wanted. This wasn't, Don and Peter, this wasn't a Yankee obsession. They had to fight teams like the San Diego Padres desperately wanted him. He's 27 years old, and he's an athletic player. And he hits left-handed at Yankee Stadium, which is the one thing that's missing in this lineup. Listen, again, he's not the perfect player, but he helps. Does he make them better?
The only negative is that I think fans held out hope that they were going to blow this thing up.
Never going to happen.
And it was never going to happen. I said it yesterday. If I could tell you, you're going to look into a crystal ball and see that Brian Cashman's not going to get fired and they're going to stick to the analytics forever, wouldn't you want this deal to be made? Wouldn't you want them to do everything they can to just get into the playoffs? So this pipe dream of them finding religion and scrapping. So stop with the calls. He strikes out too much. That they're too home run oriented. In my day, we bunted. We moved runners over. We were more athletic. That's not how they want. That's not how they're going to go about it. And you can give me every stat you want about, well, the Twins hit 7 home runs yesterday and lost. The Twins have the most home runs in the American League and missed the playoffs. Well, the Giants have the most home runs in baseball and are the best team in baseball.
Good point.
So stop. I'm not telling you to like it, but you're going to have to live with it because it's not changing. So why root for them to lose? Why root against them getting better so you can hope that all of a sudden they're going to completely change their minds? They're not. So either get used to it or go root for somebody else. I'm tired of apologizing for it, Michael. I'm not even sure I agree with it. I'd like them to go in a different direction, but I've accepted it. So Peter and I were talking. It almost feels like we're apologizing for the Yankees or that we're supporting or defending them. No, we're just telling you the way it is. This is the way they think. They're not changing. either accept it or get off. Get going.
Andy Martino of SNY just tweeted out, sounds as if the Yankees have Voit trades they could make if they add an infielder like Story, not necessarily to the Rockies. Have discussed separate trades to clear payroll, space on the infield, also looking for pitching. So they're making the run. They're going for it. And if you're a fan of a team, isn't that what you want? I keep seeing, you know, on Twitter and you know, even before the game, I was looking, they have to rebuild. Okay, how? Everybody loves Aaron Judge, right? Well, they're going to rebuild. That's the move that you're going to make to rebuild. You don't want to trade Aaron Judge, but you'd have to blow it up, and that would be the way to blow it up. Can't trade Stanton. So how are you rebuilding? That's so silly. And one other thing, what I think this deal does, Don and Peter, it's going to put the Yankees in a really tough situation. And I don't know what they're going to do. Brett Gardner made a big error in the outfield today. Sitting 190, he's had a terrible season. Are you going to run him out in center field every single game now, or are you going to say, okay, it's time to shift to Greg Allen? Fast switch hitter, can go get him. That would be a very, very tough decision. Yankee organization loves Gardner. That's not the way you want him to go out. What do they do? Because if you keep him on the roster, he's playing center field a lot. He just is. And if he's not, then Aaron Judge is playing center field a lot. And do you really want that?
Michael, this isn't show friends, it's show business. All right. I get it. He's my favorite Yankee. I love the way he plays. But if you're in this to win it, Michael, I just don't know how you, just because he's a great Yankee or just because he's been here the longest and he's got tenure, that you can run him out there batting 190 and making the mistakes that he's making. You can't do that. If you think he gives you the best chance to win, then by all means put him out there. But he was brought back here to be your fourth outfielder. He's been exposed being an everyday starter. Come on. It's a tough way to go, but that's business, isn't it?
It is, but I don't know if Cashman would do that with Brett. I just don't. Now, maybe they buy themselves a little time because Greg Allen was scratched from the starting lineup today. Soreness in his right knee. He was hit by a pitch in the 10th inning yesterday. So we'll see. A lot of stuff going on. I'm just curious why Yankee fans would be down on trying to make the team better. You know, and if you're hoping for a rebuild, those that are my age, all right, so I'm 60. And Steinbrenner bought the team in 1973 when I was 12. So that was 48 years ago. They've never rebuilt.
Ever.
Now, they had those terrible years when George was suspended and Stuntmerrill was the manager, but that was not by design. It all fell apart. So you expect an organization that since George Steinbrenner's family, or George bought it in 1970, has never rebuilt. You think that now in 2021, the year, they're going to tear it down and start all over again and give you a five-year plan. How would you people out there react to 5 years of losing, like what the Astros had and what the Cubs had and what the Tigers are going through right now? Heads would explode, Don. Heads would explode. They asked for it, but if they got it, they'd be angry, they'd be complaining, and they would be whining to the hills.
Michael, since I was born in 1968, the Yankees have had 7 losing seasons, okay? And one of them was 2 games under 500. The other was a game under 500.
They're not rebuilding.
Think about that.
Even the year they made strategic trades, right?
They were in it to the end.
Of Miller and Chapman, they were in it right till the end. All right, we'll take some phone calls. A lot of people want to talk about this. A lot of people are talking about your HBO list.
Oh, yeah. A lot of chatter around that. A lot of controversy.
Also, damn it up! I'm sweating.
Can I tell you one thing, though? Gutless.
Wait a minute. The one thing you cannot say about that. Look at me.
Oh.
Who's gutless?
You. You couldn't just cut it to a top five? You got to make tough decisions.
Couldn't be done.
I think you could do it.
Could not be done.
You can do it.
Could not be done.
How?
Because it wouldn't have been fair. It would just, forget it. Why even bother?
All right, so every time I have a really tough decision, when I make a top five, I'll make it a top six.
No, but I wanted it to be entertaining. Peter, help me out here. There's just too many. And if you get it down to five, everybody would be upset. It would just be too, it would just be too much.
Yeah, got
it. And even the 10, I'm getting killed. Peter, would it have been better if I made it a top five? How would that have gone?
It would have been very controversial. I support you doing 10. But I do understand where Michael's coming from. I'm sorry. I support you, though. Listen, I'm on your side. I'm just saying his argument of gutless, it has some
merit.
It has some merit, even though I'm with you. I'm gutless, too. Let's make it 10.
Hey, Andrew, I'd like to I'm going to give you a very tough challenge. The mentor for Joey Gallo throughout his young life in Vegas was Jason Giambi. So I'd like you to get the Giambino on the air tomorrow.
I'm on it.
I don't know if you could do it, though.
What?
I don't know if he can do it.
Say something bad about Peter so you can have the hat trick.
Wow.
Peter's
a great
guy.
I will fight you after this show.
You know what I'd like, Peter?
Can, do it.
Can you please ask Miss Hatton? She's taking pictures of random New Yorkers. Can she take some pictures of me?
Sure. You want her to?
Yeah,
I really
do.
You think that you could, maybe you could.
I'm not a creepo. You're a creepo.
I was going to say. Yeah, maybe she could come to the stadium when there's a home. Would she be? Could you possibly get her into a home game?
No, you can't. Not on this level. No.
She can't get onto your level to shoot you?
No. But, you know, she can come to house, and if she wants to do partial nudes, I'm all right with that.
See, that's – no, no.
I'm willing to – anyway, let's take a brief time out.
We should. Let's towel off.
She's going to have to bring one of those, like, those big lenses that, like, blow things up to normal size.
To normal size. 1-800-919-3776. Please call right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, welcome back to the show. Big 5 o'clock hour. The Mets lose to the Braves. They lose 3 out of 5 to Atlanta, who gains a game. The Yankees get beaten up by the Rays, but they take 2 out of 3, now head to Miami, and they start a stretch of games that should be easy. 3 against Miami, then 3 against Baltimore, then 4 against the Mariners, then Kansas City. So, you know, you want to get fat, here's the time to get fat. But one of the biggest pieces of news today, I didn't even tell Don and Peter, I didn't tell Andrew, I didn't tell Anthony this, but I was so relieved when the Jets finally signed Zach Wilson today. So Zach is in Florham Park. He's with the team the way he should. Because yesterday I made a declaration on the air that I would not talk Jets if he's not back by the green and white scrimmage, which was next Saturday.
Right.
And I really meant that. I was not going to talk about the Jets. It was all going to be Don.
Yeah, because Peter was joining you.
I joined you. That's right.
Right. I got a phone call from a high-ranking executive. That's all I'll say. I'm not going to narrow it down.
From where?
From ESPN.
Ah.
And I was told, if you don't talk Jets, you are going to be fired. Came down really, really hard. And I said, well, I've said it on the air. I'm not talking them. Well, you better come off this, because if you don't talk Jets, you know, we're their flagship. We run their games. Our afternoon drive guy is definitely talking to Jets, or you're going to be fired.
And part of it's because it would be me talking about myself, which – they are poor as well.
Why would you be talking about yourself? You'd be talking about the Jets.
No, but me talking alone about the Jets.
Oh, okay.
They'd have to bring in someone. Like I said, they'd have to bring in Willie Colon. Me and Willie Colon talk Jets, and then Yankees come up, and then Willie leaves, and then you guys come back.
Well, I would assume that Peter got the same call, unless they don't care if he talks or not.
I heard from no one.
No one. Interesting.
But you heard from a high up at the Jets or the station?
The station.
We know who it is. There's only one person.
No,
fire you.
ESPN as an entity. Don't try to narrow it down.
I don't know why this person want to be public. Peter, when you swing it around, you want people to see it.
Yeah, I don't know why you're scared to say
it. My goodness.
But
I'm not scared.
To say it.
Why is he scared?
Maybe he's scared. I'm respecting the authority. Now, there was a part of me that said, don't sign Zach. Let's see if they have the guts to do it. Because if I got fired for that, they'd have to, you know, they'd have to pay the remainder of the contract too.
Yeah, but it is a fireable offense.
Well, the Jets not signing Zach Wilson on time is a fireable offense. Nobody lost their job.
Yeah, but I think if they wanted to take you to court over you violating your contract, I think they'd win. You just having a declaration, if they don't sign, then I'm not talking Jets. Peter, I think that that'd be enough of a violation of the contract, they'd be able to get out without having to pay him.
But I'm not saying that the show wouldn't talk Jets. You're very capable of it. You were the voice of the Jets on the pre- and post-game for 38 years.
I don't think a host of a show is allowed to walk away from a subject as big as the Jets when his name's on the show.
Well, you know what? We'll never know now.
We'll
right?
never know.
We'll never know.
Now we're all stuck talking about the Jets all year.
Wow.
All right. So now it's time for today's New York Mets game recap brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. So it's being reported that Steve Cohen wants to make a deal.
Yes.
And although Zach Scott is the guy making the phone calls, the interim GM, that's the interim GM? Or
yeah.
Is that the one that was fired?
No, that's him.
Yeah, Zach Scott. But he's just bringing it back to Sandy and Uncle Steve. So how much will Steve Cohen get the itchy trigger finger and make a deal? Supposedly, the Mets have backed away from the Twins, who they think the Twins want too much for Jose Barrios. Now, the Mets lost today to the Braves. And there's one concern that I have about today. Taijuan Walker has not pitched a lot in the last 2 years. And he's been lights out, made the All-Star team, mm-hmm. and really, really good. But he might be hitting a wall, Don, because he has not pitched a lot. He didn't pitch all of 2019, I believe, and then he pitched just a little bit in the 60-game season last year. And, he got hit again. So the Braves end up winning this game, and the Mets came very close to getting swept all five. But I give them credit because they are a gritty bunch. Great, though, by Conforto yesterday, saved Diaz's backside. And then, a bullpen that was outstanding in the second game of the doubleheader threw up 7 shutout innings. They won 1-0. But just when you start to worry, Don, right? Here's what I tell you. I tell everybody this. The Phillies are about to get swept by the Nationals. There's nobody good enough to catch them. I'm sorry, there's nobody good enough to catch them.
The Braves could be, though.
You think?
Michael, they're 4 back. You got to give them some respect. They came into Citi Field, took 3 out of 5 where they could completely have been buried. And you're right about Walker. Walker over his last 7 starts, 1-3 with a 7.18 earned run average.
Yeah, that's concerning. It really is concerning. Now, here is Pete Alonso after the game. He said, he was asked, did you feel like you missed an opportunity against Atlanta?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, all the NL East teams are kind of hanging around. And, I mean, for us, I mean, yeah, we're on top, but going through, I've said this before, we're going to have a target on our back. And any time that we can create separation is great. And, I mean, today it's unfortunate the way it panned out. But, I mean, every single day is a new opportunity. And I feel like that this weekend is going to be a really good series for us this weekend against the Reds. So it's not great losing, whether it's against the Braves or the Marlins or the Yankees or the Dodgers. It doesn't matter who we lose against. I mean, it's not great. I mean, the whole point of us is to win as many ball games as possible, regardless of who's wearing the jerseys across from us. But yeah, it'd have been nice to get this one, but it's okay. We're gonna have a hell of a series this weekend.
And it is okay. He's right. There's no need to panic, but it does maybe make the Mets think about we got to get a starter, especially if Walker is tiring, and you don't know what you're gonna get out of Carrasco tomorrow, and you don't know when Syndergaard's coming back. Everything I hear about Syndergaard coming back, Don. He's going to be like a guy who comes in and gives you 3 or 4 innings out of the bullpen. He's not going to start, probably not going to be built up to that level. So they probably need another starter. And you still don't know about DeGrom.
It starts to make, it makes me think about this fraud who I work with every day who says the Mets absolutely cannot lose the NL East.
I still believe that.
They can't. You're telling me right now they can't.
Well, of course, the possibility exists. If I had to bet my vast wealth, I would bet that the Mets are winning the National League East.
But you've made it sound like
I don't think the other teams are good enough.
Well, let's see.
Yes, we will see.
We will see, because we just saw that maybe Atlanta's a little bit more capable of competing in this thing than you thought.
Yeah.
Well, that's the Mets game recap brought to you by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's Tully time. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly.
Now, Stroman's 1-4 in his last 7 starts.
But he hasn't pitched poorly.
No, with 3.38, so it's not bad. But, again, I like Stroman a lot. But we're gonna see Carrasco tomorrow, which is great. And you hope that DeGrom comes back. But is Stroman somebody that could be your number 2? Are you comfortable with him being your game 2 starter? Because Walker right now, I'm not comfortable with him being the game two starter. Heck, Rich Hill might end up being an option to be your game three starter, and Walker might be, you know, your fourth game starter if you go there. You know, seeing what happens with Carrasco, Walker might be out of this rotation if they make the postseason. So you still have to think about how you're set up for the playoffs, even if you're confident enough that you're going to hold on to this lead. But I'm with Peter, Michael. I get the Braves are under 500 and they've underachieved, but they're not going away. And you've got 24 hours to make a deal. Otherwise, you're going to hope that in the last 60 games, you could hold on to a four-game lead. Right. And I think the Braves are the most dangerous out of Philadelphia and Washington. Washington, I think, is done. Especially if they sell off Scherzer.
But they're about to sweep the Phillies.
Right, but I get it. But the Mets have a tough series coming up against Cincinnati, who's red hot. Then they take on the Marlins, who've always kind of been a thorn on in their side. This will be an interesting weekend. Mets, Reds, Braves, Brewers. Both have difficult series. Let's see where we're at. But the Braves are not going away.
The best scenario about... If you're a Met fan, you want to worry. I thought Joel Sherman had a really good column today. And, Don, I'm sure you remember this really, really strongly. They frittered away an entire lead. They led the National League East from May on in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And the pitching just broke down. And Willie Randolph was begging, and Sandy Alderson begging Wilpon. I believe that was Sandy then, right?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Sandy yet. But he was begging the front office. We got to get a starting pitcher, and Jeff Wilpon refused, and their starting pitching fell apart, and they blew the whole thing.
Yep, 7 games in 17 days. So they're up 7 games with 17 left, and they lost it.
Yep. Very quick basketball note: the NBA draft is tonight. Woj bomb. Brooklyn has traded Landry Shamet to Phoenix for Javon Carter and the 29th pick in tonight's draft. So. Sean Marks always wheeling and dealing, so he does get into the first round, and we'll see what he does with it. He also gets rid of a contract that he's going to have to extend Landry Shamet at big money, and they're well over the tax now. I mean, they're paying so much money in taxes. Josiah is, and you know, all three of the big three now are up for a contract extension. Will they do it? And if they do, can you really afford to get Landry Shamet? That's what the Nets do so well. They'll take a player and they'll develop him into something really big, mm-hmm. and then they're able to move him. And that's what they did with Jared Allen. They might turn around and they might do a sign and trade with Spencer Dinwiddie. They're so smart. They're so good at what they do. So this is the first move by Sean Marks. He gets the 29th pick in the first round.
Also to clean up and confirm, it was Omar in 07.
Manai. Omar, that's it. So Omar and Willie were telling Jeff, we have to get a starter. He said, no, this is good enough. They had a broken-down Orlando Hernandez at that point. Everything was falling apart. So the Nets now have the 27th and 29th picks in the first round, and maybe they combine those two and they pick something up or maybe even move up higher.
So that bottom of the first round's got a lot of Knicks and Nets, no?
Yeah, yep. I think the Knicks are going to make a move, too.
Of course, all of it on our air.
That's right. That's why we're special. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Now we talk about the Yankees. If you just joined us, Yes is with us now as well. You just saw the post game. Yankees got waxed today. 14-0. They were down 4-0 before they got an out. Garrett Cole didn't have much command of his breaking pitches. Then went to the fastball exclusively after the first inning and was just blowing it by the Rays. But then it fell apart in the sixth inning. So he gave up 8 runs, 7 earned. That's his worst outing as a Yankee. The Yankees are now 10-11 in the 21 starts that Garrett Cole makes. And in the words of a former Yankee manager, that's not what you want.
Not what you want.
That's not crazy. With your ace. Not. I mean, he's had a decent year. And with this, you know, with these 7 runs, he's now jumped. His ERA's jumped into the threes. But you got to win way more games than you lose when your ace starts. So they're 10-11 when he starts.
You know, wins for the pitcher don't matter, but wins for the team do.
Oh, yeah.
You bring in Cole because you're hoping whether he gets a no decision or not, who cares, but we have to win the game. You know, if you end up being a 500 team when he pitches, that's not helping anybody. It's just crazy why they just can't sweep series. It's hard to sweep series, but, Michael, it's just weird. Seattle, they got one hit. Houston, they blew the 7-2 lead in the ninth. Today it was over before it even started. It's crazy.
4-10 in trying to sweep series. 4-10. And we gave you this stat earlier, which is, to me, I actually noticed it for the first time today, and it's startling. They're 13-24 in day games, and therein lies the rub on why you're not sweeping series. Last games of series usually on Sunday, usually day games. Last games of series usually day games because it's a getaway day for one team. And they're miserable in the day, and they're great at night. Now, this is a team, after tonight's loss, they're 53-48. They're 5 games over .500, and in the day, they're 11 games under. How do you explain that? How's that possible?
Could call me crazy. I'm going to throw this out here. Could the team be vampires?
You're crazy.
Don, it makes sense.
No, what it makes sense is, if this was no pandemic, that they're, you know, they're going out and partying the night before and just not ready for a day game. But, you know, I don't think there's anybody going out and partying. Maybe they are. I don't know. Or just one of those things. It's odd.
Amazing. Just it's an amazing thing. And to see Cole pitch like this, it's stunning. And they got shut down by a 21-year-old Luis Patino, which is another, you know, message to all of baseball. Don't make trades with the Rays. Don't. It's dumb. The Pirates made a trade with the Rays. Rays gave them Chris Archer, and they gave them Austin Meadows, who has 20 home runs and 75 ribbies, and Tyler Glasnow, and a guy we haven't even seen yet, Shane Baz. And they sent Snell to the Padres, and they gave him one of their best pitchers, and Snell's having a terrible year. And Patino, you watch him today, this guy's a stud. Don't trade with the Rays, people. Now, they'll occasionally make a bad one. Hunter Renfro didn't turn out the way they want it, and now Hunter Renfro's having a great year with the Red Sox, but they do so much better in trades than anybody else, because everybody talks about, well, they draft. No, if you look at the Rays, they don't draft that well. They don't draft that well. They trade well, and that's why they're able to hang. 1-800-919-3776. Yankees did get Gallo. It became official. I think they're still working it. Kyle Schwarber, a lot of people are saying that that's a possibility. Kepler from the Minnesota Twins, that's a possibility. The Yankees have checked in on Barrios. That's a possibility. You keep hearing the name Trevor Story. Still a possibility. So I don't think they're done. I don't think they're done. Now, I'll ask you this, Don. Joey Gallo, in his entire career with the Texas Rangers, wore number 13. You think the Yankees let him have 13? Last guy to wear it was A-Rod. Now, it's not retired. And A-Rod, although he patched things up at the end of his run, certainly didn't have a love affair with the Yankees when he, you know, threatened to sue them.
I know, but everything has been good since then.
Been great.
But I think have a give feeling it to him. They'll let him wear it.
So do I.
You know what, though? I got to tell you, though, 13 on the Yankees, it definitely hits. You definitely see it and know that's A-Rod instantaneously. But Gallo's also a star. He's not a yo-yo.
And you just, you know, he's your big pickup.
Right. How about this? You know him better than anyone. Is A-Rod the kind of guy to be annoyed by it if it happens?
You would never admit it. I don't know if he'd be annoyed by it. I don't know. I mean, the way it ended, and the guy was suspended for a year.
Listen,
that's a hard thing to do, to retire a number of a guy that actually served a year suspension.
Listen, he has to be very satisfied with how this all worked itself out. The relationship is fine. He definitely got up from it like a phoenix. He rose from the whole thing. But did he expect to go all the way with it, like get his number retired, nobody wearing his number? That's a little bit much.
I mean, it's a little much to think they're going to retire Alex's number, and 21 is still not retired. Hasn't been given out.
LaTroy
Hawkins had it for a couple of days. If they're not retiring Paul O'Neill's number with 4 championships, I don't think A-Rod's getting retired. Now, they're holding 21 for some reason in this weird abeyance, but 13 hasn't been given out since A-Rod left.
21's interesting because he's the warrior, right? You know,
and now he's like one of the faces of your organization. No, he's on TV for 20 years.
I get it. He was a part of championships, and he was a heart and soul guy. But was he a retire your number guy?
Is he – okay, I'll ask you that. That's a fair question as I look at it, the retired numbers now. Did he mean as much to the Yankees as Posada and Pettit?
Wow.
What about Bernie?
And Bernie?
Any of them.
I mean, he has four championships.
No, I understand that, but
– He's not a homegrown Yankee, which might hurt him.
But listen, Posada's in because of the core four.
Right.
Bernie was a better player. And yeah. Pettit was a better player. And Pettit's the core four. Well, kind of core four-ish. He left to go to Houston, but.
But he was there for all five championships.
But, so. Oh, Paul's on the outside of those.
If they haven't retired it, the last game he played was 2001. I just don't think they're going to do it.
But I don't think it's deserving. Like, I think he's right there where you don't really encourage people to take the number. But as much as I love Paul and he was a heart and soul guy and every championship has guys like Paul O'Neill, you can't retire every number. And you just named some guys that you can even make a case because Posada's not going to the Hall of Fame. Pettit's not going to the Hall of Fame. Bernie's not going to the Hall of Fame. And yet their numbers are retired.
But
so you can even debate those guys. So how does Paul get in then?
Okay, you retired Reggie's number. He was here for 5 years.
I think people had a problem with that, and I did. I don't think Reggie was here long enough to get his number retired. Now, he was impactful. They won a couple of championships with him. But I would not have a problem if they did not retire 41.
44.
And 44, excuse me.
You retired. I mean, I would never fight this. You retired Mattingly. You never won a championship here.
But.
He's an all-time Yankee.
He was an all-time Yankee.
But he's the only guy up there that hasn't won a championship and is not in the Hall of Fame.
But it can't just be. But if you watched Donnie baseball and you saw what he meant to those teams and how good he was during that length of time, I think he deserved to have his number retired, and he meant more to the Yankees than I think Paul did. You can talk about championships, but Don Mattingly, there was a lot of heavy lifting. There was no wild card during that time until the very end of his career.
The last year?
And so those teams weren't very good, but he was the clear star of those teams. Broke records, MVP caliber player. So I understand the championships, Michael, but Paul O'Neill was a part of championships. He wasn't, where is he on the list of reasons why they won when you've got Derek Jeter and Bernie Williams and Jorge Posada and Andy Pettit and Mariano Rivera?
I think he's high up on the list. Just
he's high up, but I just named five guys that would be bigger than him.
I get it, but he was here when they transitioned from a bad team to a good one, so he has to be part of the reason for the culture change. This is not even about – I mean, we're both in agreement that Gallo's probably getting 13.
Yes. But listen, this is why this show is so much fun. Spontaneous debate.
Is that it?
I like to think so.
It's one of the reasons.
Shams Charania. Oh, well, Woja has this. So the Lakers are near a deal to acquire Washington's Russell Westbrook, Peter.
Oh, yeah.
For Kyle Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and a 2021 first-round pick.
Wow.
Think about that.
That's a haul for Russell Westbrook right now.
Yeah, but I mean, now you got Davis, Westbrook, and LeBron. Not too bad.
Kuzma, Harrell, and Caldwell Pope?
Yep.
That's like literally their entire stock of players not in the big three. And what now will be their big three.
But you know what? They traded everybody and their grandmother for Davis, and they made it work. When you've got great players, you just surround them with role players. And people will play for the veteran minimum just to play with those three guys.
And now
that would tell me that Bradley Beal's staying then.
Yes. Yes.
You're not going to trade both of them.
I don't know. Unless there's another thing out there. But those are some nice little pieces for the Wizards to get too.
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Let's take a quick timeout. Joe Judge ripped by a player that he cut. Robert Saleh, before Zach Wilson was there, kind of showed, hey, I want this guy here. A lot of stuff to do, a lot of stuff to talk about. Please do it with us right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKSESPN.
Well, right after this show ends at 6:30 on 98.7, you get the great Chris Carlin. And he joins us now, right here on the show.
Good evening.
How you doing, Chris?
Not great.
Why? What's wrong?
I don't know if you saw, but what is that?
Emergency alert.
There's a tornado warning out near where I live.
Wow.
Oh, so that's coming from your computer?
I think it's coming from my phone.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You better put on a weighted vest so you don't get blown away.
Oh, that was nice of him to say.
I just told you I'm not in a good mood.
All right, so what happened? Wow. Tell us why.
I don't know if you saw the Texas Rangers traded their best chip to the Yankees and got four third-tier prospects for him.
That's not third-tier.
Yeah, they're third-tier, all right.
Stop it.
They are. They are.
But
they
my
are.
Question to you is, why did they trade him? He's 27 years old.
I know, Michael. It's interesting. Why trade him for that is the bigger question. If you're going to trade him with another year left, why wouldn't you get a top 10 prospect out of it? At the very, in addition to others, at the very minimum.
Now, from what I've heard, let me talk you down.
How?
So the four guys that they traded, the Yankees,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
They were outside of their top 12 at the beginning of the year. And I've heard that two of them have played so well that if you had the Yankee list now, two of them would be in the top 10.
Here's the thing about the Yankees, and no disrespect to what you're going to say. I don't like dealing with the Yankees to begin with because their prospects for years have sucked. And when they have traded them somewhere else, they have usually not panned out.
Well, most teams trade prospects and they hope they don't pan out, but they've had prospects that pan out. Aaron Judge and Sanchez.
Yeah, those two.
They keep them.
Those two.
And, you want me to go on? Jordan Montgomery?
Okay-ish.
You stop yourself.
First
Where's
all,
your team?
It's
they
this
stink.
All phony stuff. Anyway. He's such a fake Ranger fan. Stop it.
I'm a fake Ranger
yeah,
fan?
Big fraudy fake.
Why am I a fraudy fake?
You grew up a Met fan. You got mad they traded Mookie Wilson away and became a Ranger fan. Please, stop yourself. You're not upset about it. Move on.
I am upset about it.
Can you believe this, Chris?
Well, first of all, I can't deny that there is some legitimacy to what he's saying about how I became a fan.
But how long
However,
was
that? 87?
How old was I when it happened?
Sure.
17.
Yeah, come on, Peter.
So then, Chris, you understand Matt Damon then. You're one of the few people that understand Matt Damon. Matt Damon said
although
he's a
Brady
Patriot.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Mookie
so
had
you didn't
once.
Like the Mets, you like Mookie.
No, I loved the Mets when I was a kid, when they really, really stunk before 86.
But why would you give up your Met fandom for one player who doesn't even care if you live or die?
Because, and Mookie, let me tell you something. Mookie and I have talked. Mookie cares whether I live or die, all right?
He's all a right? really good person.
He really is. Which makes it even better. But, listen, you can say what you want. I was not joking when I said there were tears after 2011. And by the way, Don, fraudy, fraud, fraud, fraud. I was also going to say, first things first, let's give you a round of applause for even attempting the top 10 HBO shows of all time, because it's impossible.
It's impossible. That's what Michael said, that I was a fraud.
And I stand by it.
Gutless.
You are gutless.
I couldn't do five. Five wouldn't even have been fun.
If there's a top 10, right, then there must be a favorite five. So you have to suffer the slings and arrows. You do top five.
It wasn't afraid of suffering the slings and arrows. I wanted to make it a little bit more fun because we took the guesswork out of it.
I think it would have been fun to have five.
Usually what we do with the top five, Chris, you understand, is that Michael and Peter guess. But I wasn't going to have that because we'd be guessing all day. There's so many good shows.
Right. I mean, first thing you know, Peter's guessing John from Cincinnati.
Yeah, and then we would never get to the list. So I'm like, listen, why don't I expand it to 10? I'll just rattle off the 10. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate that.
There are people out there who feel that because he kept the wire outside of the top five, he knew he'd be assaulted on Twitter for this. So, Michael, he protected himself with the top 10.
No, which would lead you to believe that, that it would be a gutless move.
But it's not. Right. But I'm still getting killed for it being six. So, I kind of – so, you know, people will still think it should be one, two. Like, why do you have this? Why do you have 6 feet under it, two? I'm going to get killed no matter what. I just wanted to expand it to make it more fun to do.
Don, here's your correlation. You can expand the NCAA tournament all you want. Somebody's always getting screwed.
Exactly. But that backs me up. So do the five.
But they did expand it to 68. So I have no problem with Don expanding it to 10. I would say that the 6 feet under at number two is a hair high. And okay. Larry Sanders at seven is a little low for me.
And you don't even include Arliss, you animal.
Arliss even good?
It scared me because he actually alluded to Arliss being great early in the show, and I'm thinking I'm going to have to destroy this entire list if Arliss shows up in the zip code of it.
Here's something for you, Chris. I was looking at Vulture's list. They ranked every HBO show ever.
Mm.
Arliss was, I think, 100 out of 104.
I did enjoy it.
But I'll tell you what. Two of the last three shows on that Vulture list I enjoyed, which were Dream On and Mind of the Married Man.
Dream On was really good.
Yeah, back in the day, Dream On was good.
But it was a hard list because there's a lot of shows I love. I loved Flight of the Conchords.
Great show.
I'll tell you what was a very underrated show for a very short time, Life's Too Short.
Life's Too Short, Chris. There's one person you could talk to about that show, and you're talking to him right now. It is – how about this? If for someone out there who's going, I have nothing to watch right now, I want something that's fast, easy, and absolutely hilarious.
Life's Too Short.
Life's Too Short, and same team, Hello Ladies.
I never saw that show.
Both
saw
that one.
You know a show that had too short of a run that was really good?
Mm.
CMB.
Well, that's a great point. That's a great point. Thanks for pointing out how short of a run it had. That's awesome.
You knew it was going to hurt him, too.
Awesome. Did that hurt you, Chris?
Things are going great.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? You know, it was weird, Michael. Originally, what was going to happen was when Game of Thrones got started,
right?
It was doing really well at first. But then all of a sudden, there were rumors Gandolfini was going to bring the Sopranos back. Like, flush it! And so they were going to pull... And they ended up switching it all around, and in the end, it didn't happen.
And they were going to move Game of Thrones to 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon.
Wow.
Oh, boy. So what do you have on your show today, Chris?
We'll talk certainly about it's a very short show because we have the NBA draft on our air tonight.
Well, you're on the air enough, so stop complaining.
I was just pointing it out, okay?
All right.
Here's what it is, and you know this philosophy. You live by this philosophy. I got to get mine. That's the philosophy.
But you get yours every day hosting Bart, Hahn, and Carlin.
The show is Bart and Hahn.
Right, and Carlin.
And I'm filling in. That's it.
So how long have you done BHC?
Since roughly 2004.
Yeah.
No, I have done it, I don't know, a couple months now, roughly.
I mean, really, you're Joan Rivers, and Hahn is now Carson in the last couple of years, doing three shows a week.
I'll tell you what, I'd sign for Joan Rivers' career.
Oh, yeah. She had a great career.
Tremendous career. I would sign for that.
You've had a tremendous career.
I'd sign for Melissa Rivers' career right now.
Interesting. Wow. How about Doc Rivers?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Any other Rivers you could think of, Don?
Mickey.
Philip.
Mickey Rivers?
Mickey, yeah.
Played for the Rangers.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. Old Man Rivers?
We have a lot. We'll talk NBA draft. We'll talk the trade of Westbrook. We'll talk the Yankees deals. And if they're done, because apparently some other player from the Tampa Tarpons has been pulled from the lineup. So look out.
Oh, they're not done. Chris, they're not done.
I know they're not done.
They're not done.
Michael, let me ask you this real quick.
Yes.
And I think you mentioned it yesterday.
Uh-huh.
The guy that I think just makes – way too much sense for them, and they should absolutely get or go after if they can. And worth the top prospect.
Schwarber.
Trey Turner. Trey Turner is exactly what the Yankees
need. Oh, he's athletic. He's the player that they don't have. But I think that
his contact guy hits 320.
Yeah,
I don't understand why the Nationals get rid of him.
I don't know.
do they not think they could sign Juan Soto and him?
I don't know. It's a great question, but he's got a year and a half left. You can move Torres back to second. You can trade Voit. You can play LeMahieu at first. I think that would be it. Well, that's just a no-brainer.
So how long is your show today?
Half hour.
Well, that, you clear your throat, it's a half hour.
I've already been on longer now than the show will be.
Because I don't know if I'm going to get to my car in time to even listen to it.
Well, call the escorts. They will lead you out front. And, you know, the police escort will get you home.
There's no escort. I can't wait for the West Coast games when I'm roaming the streets at 2:30 in the morning.
Fix that!
Yeah.
See, how do you not – how that to me is an amateur move. How are you not taking the West Coast games off?
It's pretty hard to do that when all I have to do is travel to Yankee Stadium.
I understand, but you have to stay up late. I learned after year one of doing the pre and post game at SNY, I'm never working a West Coast game again.
Listen, I love my job. I love my company. And when they tell me to work, I work.
Would you watch an HBO vehicle of John and Susan getting back to their car at 2:30 in the morning after a Yankee A's game?
You know what? That would be in your top 10.
Chicken liver.
That would be a hell of a show.
Cool Whip.
Bye, Chris. Go prepare for the half hour.
Miss you guys.
Pickled ginger.
Yeah, sure.
This portion of the Mike K Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company. Please drink responsibly. ENN. Peter's been preparing for this all day. You know, I take that back. He's been preparing for this his whole life.
Thank you.
That's coming up in just a moment on Yes, It's a TV Vehicle and a Radio Vehicle on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.